This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in, wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this beautiful day of a Friday, the last Friday of this beautiful month of Ramadan. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and to bless every single one of us. Brothers and sisters in Islam, really we have a gift, and this gift is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept all the days equal in spirituality, nor has He kept all the places equal in spirituality. Certain days are more virtuous than others, and certain places are more virtuous than others. So if I were to be in Makkatul Mukarramah right now, it is a far more blessed and spiritual place than where I am sitting right now. And where I am sitting right now is far more blessed and spiritual than my own home and house that might be a few kilometers away. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. It is only those who have a heart that is inclined towards their maker that would feel that they want to go to their maker's house. If I, for example, were always found at your house, it would mean that there is a connection between the two of us. Either there is a business connection, or perhaps a friendship, or a relation. Somehow there is something linking us. That is why you find me at your house. The same would apply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you find someone, as the hadith describes, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, a man whose heart is hanging in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will have a special shade on the day of judgment, and he will be considered a VIP on that particular day because he's always in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from those who look forward to coming to his house. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who understand that the link that we develop with him is what will help us on the final day. But brothers and sisters, Allah has a plan for us. The plan, we will take a lifetime to understand it, to read it, to put it into practice, and to convey it to others. Through that particular lifetime that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has definitely made certain paths easier for us than other paths. If a person wants to know what Islam is all about, mashallah, a few moments ago we had two brothers entering the fold of Islam. We welcome you to Islam and we ask you to learn as much as you can about this religion, because you know Islam is a knowledge-based religion. The more you know about it, the closer you become to Allah, the more you love it. The less you know about it, the more you begin to dwindle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from dwindling. So brothers and sisters, what we need to realize, this life, we live it once. We need to make the biggest effort to get as close as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if for example, a powerful leader was walking into this masjid now, today, we would make it our business to want to get close to him immediately, because it's our only opportunity. We might never see him again. So the minimum is we want to greet him, or we want to see him at least. And we want to say, you know, when that leader came here, I was there. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Why don't we think to ourselves that in this life, we live once. We have one opportunity to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important we make the most of it. And we try to get as close as possible to him. So let's get back to what I was saying at the beginning. The blessing of the season is such that anything wrong we've done in the past, when a moment that is more blessed is now close at hand, or we happen to be living in it, we would be foolish if we did not seize that moment to mend our past and to turn a new leaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan. On top of that, we are in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. On top of that, we are on a Friday. And on top of that, we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, the moment that is this particular moment of Jumu'ah is perhaps the hour in which du'as and supplications are answered in a far quicker way than they would be during other times. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that on a Friday there is 1 hour way. If you are to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something permissible, the response comes immediately and mostly as you are asking it. Let's make use of it. But there is a problem. What is the problem? Sometimes we are disputing with one another. So Allah says, these two, I don't want to listen until they sort their own problem out. Let them carry on. When they resolve their matter, then they can come to me, call out to me, then we will respond. And we don't realize the damage that is caused by disunity, the damage that is caused by brothers not speaking to each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me as well. The damage that is caused by people who say, I don't want to talk to him, but he's your blood brother. That's your son. How can you say, I don't want to talk to him? That's your father. That's your mother. That's your sister. That's your aunt. Allahu Akbar. We do not want to be from amongst those who did not seize such a blessed moment to resolve our crises between us. This life is a test. Nothing is going to be rosy. Not at all. Allah did not promise us that you will have whatever you want, because that is a promise for paradise. If we were to get whatever we wanted in this world as we want it, what would be the big deal of paradise? I had what I wanted in the world. Now when I go to paradise then, what's the point? But Allah kept paradise where He says, فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. In it, there is whatever a soul desires and whatever is delicious to the eye, you will have. As soon as you look at something and you think, before you say, I wish I had it, it's yours. Don't worry, mashallah. Imagine if that had to happen in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah says, we've kept that for later on. But in this world, you will want things, you won't get them. That's how Allah has kept it. But you will ask Allah, because Allah has kept it such that when you want something, you need to ask Him for it, so it draws you closer to Allah. So if I really want something, it's Allah's way of making me call out to Allah to say, oh Allah, please give me. And Allah says, you are such a beautiful worshipper calling out to me for this thing. Before this, you never ever called out to me. So you know what we're going to do for you? We're not going to give it to you, and we're going to keep you calling out to us until the day you die. That's a better deal than for Him to have given it to us. The day we get it, we stop calling out to Allah. It happens. Sometimes people are sick and ill. Allah grant cure to all those who are sick and ill. And then they cry to Allah. And they've never cried like that before. And Allah loves that worship so much that Allah says, to do a favor to you, we're going to keep you like this so that we always see you crying to us. That will take you to paradise. Subhanallah. Sometimes people are struggling to survive because perhaps they might be unemployed, perhaps they might have a salary that's a little bit smaller than what they actually need. May Allah grant us all barakah in our sustenance. And they call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah. Now, if suddenly we become wealthy, it can happen that we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He taps us on our shoulder from a different angle. And He says, hang on, we still love you. We want you to come to us. So, you know, we're going to introduce in your life a different type of a problem. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and create ease. So, if a person is calling out to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't have enough money. Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, I've read the whole Quran. Ya Allah, I'm in the masjid. I'm calling out to you. And Allah loves that. Allah loves that so much. Allah says, you know what? You are better off in this condition without what you are asking for, because the fact that you've softened your heart and you are crying to us is enough for us to grant you paradise. May Allah grant it to us. We have an obstacle. What is the obstacle? The introduction to it is that Allah has created us, and in order to bring us in this world, He chose a means that we had absolutely no say regarding. So I am in this world. You are in this world. How did you come here? Someone gave birth to you. Who gave birth to you? Someone whom I had no choice about. Why did I have no choice about? Because Allah chose. So who's your mother? Did you choose her? No. Allah chose her. Why did Allah not give me a say as to who my mother is? Because He wants that to be a test for me and you. Whether your mother is a person who reads her salah or not, she's your mother. Whether she's a Muslim or not, she's your mother. Whether she has bad habits or not, she's your mother. Who chose her? Allah. Why did He happen to give me such and such a mother? Because it's a test for you. He wants to see, as you grow up, are you going to swear her? If you do, even if she's a non-Muslim, you may lose what you've gained in terms of closeness to Allah. When the Quran tells you that when your parents are not Muslim, you are still supposed to be respecting them and obeying their instruction, if that instruction is not in the transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how dare can we get up and swear? We get up and yell at our own mothers. And we want to sometimes even beat up our own parents. It's happening. This is the obstacle. This is what is the obstacle. We have not understood Allah's plan for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested us by giving us the parents we have. But the same applies. Allah tests us by giving us the children we have as well. So the fathers who want to ignore their children, wallahi, you might be missing your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He gave you those children. No matter what, it's your child. You need to rise to the occasion. Stand up to your responsibility. Even if it means you are struggling. But admit, this is my child and I'm going to look after my child. That is when you will earn the mercy of Allah who gave you the child. Some people say, oh, this child is not fair in complexion. So I'm embarrassed to walk with the child when I'm on the street here in Baal. You know, subhanallah. That is ignorance. Some might say, my child is a little bit challenged, you know. They don't have a leg or they don't have this. No ways, I want nothing to do with the child. Sometimes we begin to accuse spouses to say, this is not my child. Astaghfirullah. If this is it, we will never be able to develop a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, it is impossible. This is like a blocker. It's like stops your development. So if you want to develop a link with Allah, make sure that you understand Allah's plan, certain things He's done in order to test you. So build your link with your child. Build it. And make sure you have offered exemplary upbringing for that particular child. So he sees dad is struggling morning to evening. He's dedicated. And he's so loving. And he comes home. And he spends time with us. He tries to make us laugh. He helps in the home. He brings a salary. He spends on us so much, mashallah. And he instills in us good values and morals. He's worried about our education. He tried his best to send us to the good schools. This is your success, my beloved father. Same applies to mom. She speaks with respect in the home. She looks after us. She smiles. She is the means of comfort and serenity. She is the means of the contentment of my heart and the coolness of my eyes. She has sacrificed so much. Her life is so straight. She is such a good role model. She's so exemplary. That is my mother. Allahu Akbar. My dear mothers, if our children can say that about us, we have developed a link with Allah. Because the child is an amana from Allah. And my beloved children, when you look at your father, he might have a little mistake or two. He might have a bad habit or two. Remember, it is Allah who chose that father for you and that mother. So that He just watches what you are doing, how you react, how you speak to the father, to your mother. Are you going to assist them? Sometimes a child makes a lot of money and he doesn't want anything to do with his mother because of two or three mistakes she's made in her life. Two or three errors? So Allah says, hang on, you've made 3,000 mistakes in the day. We don't want to look at that. We don't want to listen to your repentance because you need to sort your problem out with your mother to start with. Go and sort your problem out with your father, then come to us. Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that? No. We want to develop a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being people who are upright. We have understood the role of the parents. We've understood the role of the children. And we have gone out of the way, out of our own way to solve matters. How many of us are ready to make peace with our brothers? Imagine, we share a mother or a father or both. And we don't speak to each other. Why? I can tell you, it is either because of wealth, or it's because of your choice of a wife, or it's perhaps because of the fact that you have a bad habit, or we have stolen something from one another, or usurped the rights of one another. My brothers and sisters, if this moment in the house of Allah, within a Friday, within the last few days of Ramadan, within this blessed month, amazing, if it doesn't move us to resolve our matters, what is going to move us? You will have speaker after speaker coming to talk to you. The most eloquent of speakers across the globe, the most pious of saints across the globe may come to speak to you. If your heart is not moved, and if you think, no, my problem is different, then believe me, you could just be severing your link with your own maker. It's very possible. So it's important for us here and now today to say, Ya Allah, my mother, my father, my gran on both sides, and both of them, and my children, if you have some, may Allah grant us children who will be the coolness of our eyes, my spouse, my brothers and sisters, I will go out of my way to solve the matter, to resolve. Let's make it easy for one another to get together. Do you know? And I want to say this because we are in the season. Laylatul Qadr was a night that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed of the details of what night it was. Whether it was a specific night or it was rotating every year, whatever it was given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as information. This is the night. And as he was coming out, there were two Muslims disputing. I'm sure you know this. They were disputing, arguing, fighting with one another. And in the process, the knowledge was snatched back. So he said, search for the night of decree. It is one of these nights. They asked him, but which night is it? He said, I had been given the knowledge, but because of the debate, the argument, the dispute, the fighting amongst the two of you, the knowledge is gone. Now if you analyze that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose for him to tell us that. Because the danger and the damage of two Muslims fighting is such that you lose the essence of the barakah in your sustenance, the barakah in your health, the barakah in your knowledge, the barakah in everything lost. So you are stressed. And everything goes wrong. And you cannot sleep at night. You're busy thinking. And when you do sleep, you have a nightmare. So you quickly wake up. What happened? That brother was beating me on my back. Allahu Akbar. May Allah bless us. Grant us goodness. Two Muslims fighting. Look at the disaster. What if they are real brothers? Bigger disaster. Imagine. What if it's you with your child? Even worse. What if it's you and a parent? Even worse. But my brothers and sisters, we must say one thing. Sometimes our parents get fed up with us because we have very bad habits. Sometimes we happen to be on a drug that we are not giving up. Come what may, not giving up. And we're pinching from our parents every day. And we are taking from them and we are lying to them and we're making their life difficult. A parent, in the heart, they have a mercy towards the child that is instilled from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes, you know, they say, who would like to be cut with a knife? Anyone? No one. But if you have an appendicitis that's about to be bursting, you'll be the first one to say, doctor, bring the knife. Do you agree? Because you know, it's the final solution. There's nothing else I can do. So sometimes parents say, you know what? This child, I want nothing to do with them. Why do we force our parents to say that through our bad habits? We need to work on our bad habits. Give it up. Go back to your mom today. Say, mom, no more. Those drugs, I've thrown them out. That bad habit is gone. Not pinching anymore. And you know what? I'm going to work hard and replace whatever I've stolen from you. Please, make dua for me. Pray for me. It is the mother's dua that will take you to paradise. It is your father's prayer for you that will take you to Jannah. Subhanallah. On the day of judgment, you will be called with your father's name. Allahu Akbar. Your name, son of so and so, your father's name. So, the message being delivered is, do not make it difficult for your parents to have a good relation with you. Sometimes with us, we make it difficult. We make it hard. Let's not let that happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And the same applies vice versa. Brothers and sisters, imagine I started off by saying, brothers and sisters, I am your brother. Really, this bond is the bond of the shahada. We have it, it's thicker than the bond of blood. We feel the connection, we feel the link. No matter how tall or short you are, what race you belong to, we feel the link, mashallah. We are brothers and sisters in faith, remember that. But the brothers and sisters who share the same lineage have a double right. What is the right? Double right. The right is, you go the extra mile to fulfill the responsibilities that Allah has placed on your shoulders towards your brothers and sisters. If your sister is suffering, you look after her. She is a woman. And a woman has been granted a status in Islam so high that the closest male relative to her must always be keeping an eye to see if she is comfortable, if she is okay, if she is being treated fairly, and if she is living a life that is at least manageable. If not, it's your duty to provide for her food, clothing and accommodation and some form of protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to protect our sisters. Without this family unit, we would really be people who are lost. Family unit is a blessing. Imagine if we were born in factories and we had to grow up in bottles and people picked us out of the fridge. What would happen? You must be wondering, it's Friday, we're fasting, why is he talking of fridge? Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us, really. The reason I say this is, who changed your nappies? Who brought you up? Who fed you? When had they left you, you perhaps would have died. And sometimes some mothers make mistakes early on in your life. That doesn't mean you hold a grudge against them forever and ever. Go and make peace with them, because we all make mistakes when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want Him to hold that against us and doom us in hellfire forever and ever. We also want Him to forgive us, inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and say, He started off on a wrong footing, but there was a day when He changed His life. We are not going to look at the bad. We are looking at what happened right now. At the end of His life, we grant Him paradise. So learn to forgive. Some people have a hard heart. They say, no, I'm never going to forgive this mother of mine, or this child of mine, or this father of mine. I'm never going to forgive my sister. No ways, it was too big. It was not too big. If they have changed, and if there is remorse, believe me, it's a time to show that you would like to achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, when you have also wronged, so have I. None of us can say we are perfect. Not one. We have erred, we have made mistakes, and we continue to make mistakes continuously. Of a different nature, obviously. Don't we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, you can get it. But sort your matters out between yourselves. Sort them out. And you might say it's difficult. So the more difficult it is, the bigger the test for you. Prove that you can sort it out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to sort our matters. My brothers and sisters, Eid is round the corner. We may not see Eid. Do you know that? I know of people who've passed away during this month. You may know so too. Anyone has a guarantee to say you are definitely not going to die today or tomorrow? Put up your hand. Not one. Not one. That means do not wait for Eid to sort your matters out. Today, solve your problem. Resolve it. If this is my last day, I'd like my last deed to be the deed where I have resolved my matters, forgiven people. So when Allah sees this young person, it was so hard for them to forgive, and they forgave. For me, it is so easy to forgive, I've forgiven. These are liners that we need to look at. These are things we need to think about. But still, if we find ourselves being caught in the clutch of the devil, the day of Eid is round the corner, as we say. It is a day where the family unites. Families get together. It is a day where you sit and socialize with your family members in the obedience of Allah for the happiness of the day. And the feeling that one gets when they share that day with family members is unmatched. I know of people who travel long distances only to be with their folks on the day of Eid. Really. They spend half the day and the other half they are coming back home. And they are so happy. I met my mother. I met my gran, you know. I don't know if I'm going to see her again. Subhanallah. Travel long distances. And ask those who spend a lonely Eid. Is it Eid? They'll tell you it's not like an Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And for this reason, we have two duties. One is, reach out to your family. And the other, reach out to the destitute. Reach out to those who perhaps do not have family. They are from amongst us, people who are orphans, those who are widows, those perhaps who don't have family because they passed away, those who might be from far off lands. You don't just look at a person coming into the masjid and you say, hey, the masjid is going to be packed. Look at these guys. We don't even know who they are. They're coming from outside. If that's our attitude, we don't have the proper iman. But when we see people, my brother, where are you from? He says, I come from Iceland, for example. Allah protect us. And you say, brother, would you like to join me on the day of Eid? I know of people who've done this, where there are others whom they did not know, but the only thing they knew, this person is not from our locality. Obviously, you gauge. If he doesn't look like an upright person, it would be wrong for you to go so deep into a relation. Perhaps you can offer him something good, you know, and maybe give it to him and carry on. But if you're inviting him home, he needs to have, or he or she needs to have a slight bit of, you know, this uprightness about them. And you bring them home, please share with us one meal. Imagine, someone who's from outside, they've got no family to have the Eid. There are people who are expats working in our midst. There are people who've come from far and wide because of different issues and problems they might have had in their countries. Reach out to them. Tell them, the Eid is as blessed as it is for us and you. And if the two of us get together, it will be even more blessed. How many of us have reached out to the destitute, the underprivileged? No matter how much you have or how little you have, reach out a little bit, a small amount, something small, a small drink, a chocolate given to a little child who perhaps doesn't have parents. So if we are taught to reach out to a far wider group of people, what about our own little circle of family members and friends? Brothers and sisters, if you notice, this afternoon I've spoken very strongly about the family and the fact that we need to reach out to one another, parents and children, brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to open our doors, to grant us goodness. This Eid should be an Eid with a difference. We want it to be a happy day in the obedience of Allah. It is a day of sacrifice. Yes, sometimes I know the sisters say, you know, ever since I'm married, my husband does not allow me to go and see my folks. What about my family? So we address the men to say, you need to be fair sometimes. Let her too have the joy of sharing some of the Eid once in a while, perhaps every few years, with her folks as well. And if they're nearby, then you can visit them the same day. So one, the morning you're with your folks, the afternoon you're with her folks. MashaAllah. Remember, we get hungry 2-3 times a day, not just once. MashaAllah. And I want to end on a lighter note. Brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes on the day of Eid, people have food in their pockets, in everywhere, you know. There was a song I heard about a pizza in his pocket. SubhanAllah. I don't know if the kids might know that song. That pizza in the pocket comes on the day of Eid. SubhanAllah. Eid is not a day when we are doing qada for what we did not eat in Ramadan. Did you hear that? Eid is not a day when we are doing qada for what we did not eat in Ramadan. But Eid is a day, mashallah, where you enjoy. It's haram to fast. No fasting allowed. It's sinful to fast on the day of Eid. And you need to enjoy the food and you have a little bit here and there. And you thank Allah. But it is a day of unity of the ummah. It is a day of bringing families together. It is the day of Salatul Eid, where the entire Ummah gets together, putting aside every difference. Let it not be just, I put aside the difference for the day of Eid, and as soon as Eid is over, my differences are back in place. No! Those differences must be settled completely. If you understand the beauty of Eid, you will realize the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make this ending of Ramadan be with a difference. May we all be resolving our matters and problems with our family members and friends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to promote unity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of us. Until we meet again sometime, we say, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.